I'm Dave Crooks from the DLC Media News Center. On this weekend's Focus on the Community, we continue to shine a spotlight on important political races in West Central Indiana. In State Senate District 23, Phil Booch, Republican of Crawfordsville, is retiring after serving since 2006. This rare open seat features two candidates. David Sanders is the Democratic nominee. Spencer Deary is the Republican nominee. On today's program, we will hear from both candidates who have big boots to fill. And good morning, David Sanders.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here today.
Well, happy to do it. And if you could, give us a quick bio and brief explanation of who you are and what you do for a living, for example, and what you're currently doing from a public service standpoint.
Absolutely. Thank you. So I'm David Sanders. I am currently an associate professor of biological sciences at Purdue University. I teach the COVID class here because I'm an expert on viruses and pandemics. I have worked on the Ebola virus, and in that capacity, I was invited to participate in the United States Defense Threat Reduction Agency Biological Weapons Proliferation Prevention Program, and we were trying to prevent not only the spread of biological weapons from states of the former Soviet Union, but also the expertise that's necessary to turn those agents into biological weapons. So I have extensive service to the nation and to my community. I am currently West Lafayette City Councilor. I was elected in 2015, reelected in 2019, so I have a lot of legislative experience. In that role, I make accessibility and responsiveness of a core principle. I answer every single email that I receive from a constituent. I also have monthly Meet Your Counselor meetings so that constituents can voice their concerns. I have worked on issues of protection of personal privacy against government intrusion. And I've also worked very hard on trying to make sure that government funds are spent wisely. So I have opposed a number of measures locally where I believe there's wasteful spending. So I am willing to work hard for you, the voter, and I always am going to be willing to listen to what people have to say. And I'm well known for both of those.
Help me understand in the community you're in, West Lafayette, is your mayor and composition of the city council Democrat, Republican? And what's the lay of the political composition there?
Thank you. The mayor is Republican. His name is Mayor John Dennis. We have a very close relationship, both personal and working relationship. And the council is currently 8-1 Democratic.
Okay, that's pretty impressive for a city to have such a large Democratic composition and in that part of the state when the rest of Indiana obviously tends to be the other way these days, these days, I should say. Well, let's tackle a few issues. Let's pretend like you're the new state senator and you decide to file your first bill or two when the organization occurs a couple of weeks after the election. Tell me what kind of things you would focus on as a possible state senator in the state of Indiana.
Thank you. So to me, some of the most important issues have to do with economic development, quality of life, and health care for our counties, such as Park and Vermilion counties. In order to achieve that, we need to have investments in our roads. We need to make sure that everyone has access to high-speed internet and to quality cell phone service and choices in internet provider and cell phone service providers. Also, we need to have that investment in public education. I am myself an educator. I believe very strongly, and in this I differ with my opponent, that public funds for education should go to fund public education. I believe that teachers should be trusted with their curriculum. I have met so many teachers, parents, and students, and this is a top priority. I would like to share one thing that really struck me as I went around the district, and I should mention that I have gone door-to-door everywhere in this district, including just in Park and Vermilion counties alone. I have been to Rosedale, Rockville, Bloomingdale, and Perrysville, Dana, Cayuga, Newport, and Fairview Park, and Clinton. And I don't just mean knocking on a couple of doors. We go through the entire town, and I try to knock on as many doors of voters as possible. And when I've done that, I've heard about these issues and how important they are. But one of the things that really struck me was I heard over and over again about the struggles of parents and students during the COVID pandemic, and that parents had to drive their children to the parking lots of fire stations in order to get the Wi-Fi necessary in order to do their homework, the children be able to do their homework. Just the other day, I was at a library in one of these areas, and there was a student there. She was a high school student. That was where she had to come. She had to come in from a rural area about 10 miles from the library in order to do her homework. This is not equitable. This is something that I would be focused on completely. And I guarantee in my 4 years of being the next state senator from District 23, there will be better cell phone service, more extensive cell phone service, more choices, and there will be better internet access for these communities. It's absolutely essential, both for the people who currently reside there, but also for economic development. Companies will not want to relocate to these areas if they don't have proper internet and proper cell phone choices. Children who are leaving the community for their education, they go through the schools there, then go somewhere else for university education, they are much less likely to return if there is not these infrastructure improvements. And that's going to be a top priority to make sure that those changes occur so that these communities can return to growth and return to having a prosperous economic future.
We're talking with David Sanders. He is the Democratic nominee for District 23 State Senate to replace Phil Boots. His opponent is Spencer Deary. Now, you got to shorten those answers now because we're about out of time with only about 3 minutes or so to go. But let's focus on something that the state legislature did right after the Dobbs decision in the Supreme Court, where Roe versus Wade was overturned. Less than 2 weeks, Indiana has one of the newest and strictest abortion bills or laws, I should say, now in the country. Give us your thoughts on that. If you were the state senator, what would your vote been? And what are your concerns about even some employers and places like IUMED that are very concerned that this may be a negative when it comes to keeping and attracting employees, especially doctors?
Thank you very much for that question. So I have a well-established record for advocating for healthcare, for healthcare access for everyone. I also have a well-established record for protecting personal privacy from government intervention. I would not have voted for SB1. And I think, again, this is an important contrast with my opponent, who in the primary stated that he opposed abortion in every way, which I regard as a fairly extreme position on that issue. And so I do advocate for people to be able to make their own healthcare decisions. And I believe in full healthcare access for people.
David, we've got less than a minute to go, but want to get your thoughts before we wrap this up on any other specific issue that you're really going to be laser focused on if you're the next state senator.
Interestingly enough, I am a scientist, and I believe in the value of science for public policy. Our agriculture is going to be transformed by the new technologies such as CRISPR, a technology that I actually have personal experience with. And it's extremely important to have somebody in state legislature who understands where agriculture is going, how to position Indiana agriculture to take advantage of these new developments, and to understand both the challenges they pose, but also the tremendous advantages, both for the producers and the consumers. And I would like to make Indiana a center for agricultural innovation.
David, I'll let you have about 15 more seconds to plug your website and to say anything else you want before we wrap up this interview.
Terrific. So my website is davidsandersforindiana.com. I also have a very active Facebook page, David Sanders for Indiana Senate, where you can see all of the different communities where I've gone door to door during this campaign.
And you're the guy with the funny hats, right?
That's correct. I am well known for my, I don't know if they're funny, but I'm well known for the,
unique.
For the hats that I wear.
Yeah, let me correct that. The word should be unique hats, okay?
So. Thank you. My wife bought them, so I cannot say anything,
Absolutely. We understand. All right. Well, David, have a great weekend, and a lot of people are in Park County this weekend for the Covered Bridge Festival, and we hope that to see you somewhere around the community with one of the biggest festivals anywhere in the country this weekend through next Sunday.
I will absolutely be there.
All right. Have a great day, David. Safe travels.
Thank you very much.
We're talking with Spencer Deary. He is the Republican nominee for the District 23 seat to replace Phil Boots. And first of all, good morning, Spencer.
Good morning to you. Happy to be here.
Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk about the campaign. First of all, for those that do not know much about you, can you give us kind of a brief bio of yourself?
I'd be happy to. I'm a first-time candidate. I've never ran for anything before. I think we need a lot more of that in elected office, is my opinion. So I spent the last decade working in the leadership of Purdue University as the deputy chief of staff to our former governor there, Mitch Daniels. I'm also do some public policy advising with him. So that's been a great experience. Couldn't ask for, in my view, a better mentor than former great Republican governor of this state that really did a lot to turn around this state and make it a stronger growing state. So that's been a great experience. I am a father to three young school age children, a spouse to my wife, Julia, of 15 years. And as you said, I'm the Republican nominee.
And was the former governor, did he kind of inspire you to run, or can you kind of give us some insight there perhaps?
No, you know, it was my idea. I approached him. Well, I guess I shouldn't say it was my idea first. So it started, you know, I've always been concerned about issues and involved in public policy issues, but never, as I said, never ran for anything. And you know, this seat opened up with Phil Boots, our current state senator in the area, retiring, and started having some conversations with some people about who was going to maybe step up to run to fill that seat with some redistricting as well. I was living in that area and, you know, wasn't loving some of the options and some people I trust, not Mitch, but some other people I trust said, you know, you ought to do it. You'd be great at it. And I kind of laughed them off because I'm not a politician. I've never ran for anything, but I agreed ultimately to have some conversations with some serious people, and they encouraged me as well. And so we went for it and made it through the primary, and now we're on our way.
So kind of dive into why you're running. Can you tell me some of the things that you'd like to accomplish if you're the next state senator?
Of course. So, you know, as I look at really the world, country, to a lesser extent our state, although it's even down to communities, we're coming out of a pandemic and we're adapting to a new normal. And in many ways, that new normal is less than ideal and is on a trajectory that I think is headed us in some directions I don't think we want to go. Right now, we have Hoosier families feeling a lot of anxiety as a recession looms and incomes haven't kept pace with rising inflation. Some zip codes in our state are among the most unhealthy in the country. There are, especially in rural communities, their mental health services are often inaccessible. We've got hospital prices that are among the most expensive in the state. And a lot of those problems didn't start with the pandemic, but they were exacerbated by it and by bad policies and by politicians who were seeking to grandstand and self-serve more than to face good governance and good fact-based governance. And I think that made things a lot worse. As I said, I've never sought office before, but I think that some of these problems can be better fixed by having qualified people start saying yes to stepping up and running for office. And that was my case. It just didn't like the trajectory and felt that I had something to offer. And so we gave it a go, and that's what I hope to do. And you can't fix all that in one session. It's going to, or maybe even one career. But those are issues that I think we need to focus on. The other one I didn't mention as well is, you know, we've still got a lot of learning loss coming from in our schools, that we had kids sent home that couldn't go to school, and now we got to try and get them caught up. And that's another issue as well that's really important to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of second graders this year that are having their first full year that might seem like a normal kind of school year now that we're hopefully got COVID in the rearview mirror, I guess.
Yeah, and we're all adjusting to that, and we got to make sure that the future is as bright as it can be. And I think that takes good governance and good people stepping up.
We're talking with Spencer Deary. He is the Republican nominee in District 23 to replace Phil Boots out of Crawfordsville. And you're in what, West Lafayette, I assume?
I am, yep.
That's home for you. And let's say you get elected on November 8th. And, of course, in Indiana, our state legislators, they don't have to wait till January to be sworn in. You become the legislator, and then 2 weeks later, there's Organization Day. Have you thought about a particular piece of legislation or two that you might file right away in that early part of the Organization Day session?
You know, I've had the great privilege over the last couple of months to get to know Phil Boots and ask him some questions like this. And he said, you know, when I had my first term, I was just happy to learn where the bathrooms are. So, you know, I don't want to say I'm aiming low, but, you know, there's so much to really just learn and adjust that I'm going to do my best to be there and to stay true to who I am, which is just not a politician, but just a normal person who cares about doing the right thing and take every issue by on an individual basis and listen to voters and just focus on the number one thing, which is doing what's best for the voters in District 23. So, you know, as I mentioned, touched on some of the things that I'm concerned about and certainly be looking for opportunities to make impacts on that. But I also understand, too, that it's a system with you've got a whole lot of other legislators as well. You have to convince and come along with that. And so I plan on doing everything I can to build the relationships as well with my fellow legislators, to be able to get them to get on board to back the legislation that we're going to need. So there will be a lot to do, that's for sure.
Well, with half our state budget going to education, where do you stand on things like public education and vouchers for private schools and charter schools and things like that?
Sure. So I am a son of two public educators. And as I mentioned, I'm a father to three kids who are currently in public schools. So the laws and budgets we pass, I'm going to be living with them in my own family. So, you know, there's really probably no, other than perhaps the safety of the people and the preservation of liberties, there's probably no more important issue for a state government to address than to prepare the next generation of Hoosiers to be able to advance our state, and so much of that happens in schools. So I'm a big supporter of public schools. It's where my kids are right now, and there's a lot of gains we need to make in there. You know, we've got, I think we need more career advising, getting kids exposed to more private sector driven hands-on education to understand about the careers that they can have and the post-secondary education that they may need to get there, which sometimes includes college, but doesn't have to be college as well. It can be apprenticeships or other skilled certificates of sorts, and we need to get more of that into our schools. We need to make sure that we're recruiting, training, and retaining the best teachers, because once a child leaves home, the single most important and influence on their educational outcomes is a high-quality teacher. And so there's a lot we can do to make sure we're keeping those teachers, and it's partially funding, but it's also it's administrative support. It's making sure the school discipline is where it needs to be and their workload is where it needs to be. So you asked about charters and private school and such. So, you know, there's a lot of misunderstandings about this particular issue. You know, there's the thinking sometimes, well, you know, there aren't a lot of choice options in, say, Rockville, where I could send my child. And that's a fair point. But one of the best things actually that happened to a rural school budget is for more children in Indianapolis to decide that they're going to go take a voucher and go elsewhere. And the reason for that is because when they do that, then the education that they're getting is partially subsidized by a private entity. You know, frees up about 10 to 30% of the dollars that the state was sending and allows more of that to come to a place like rural Indiana. So even if there aren't options, there's still some budget impacts that help on that issue. In fact, if you were to do away with vouchers, there would be a $65 million deficit where you would have to then find new funding to be either raise taxes or cut $65 million worth of money out of budget in order to be able to make that whole. So I do think it's right for people to be able to have choices when they're born in places where there's tough impacts or tough challenges. But at the same time, it's not an either or. We got to make sure that we're keeping our schools strong and well financed. And I don't think it's an either or option.
And Spencer, as we look to last summer, the legislature met for a special session, and they put together a piece of legislation that further restricted abortion after the Supreme Court and the Dobbs decision when they overthrew Roe versus Wade. If you had already been a senator, where would you have stood on that particular SB1 legislation? Would you have supported it the way it was passed and became law recently, or do you have any pause about what they did at the special session this summer?
You know, there's really no issue more emotional or divisive or complicated than this one. And so, you know, I think we deserve a center who will bring tact and compassion to the issue. And I think that's an issue where there's some contrast here in the options in the fall. But my, you know, to my knowledge, well, actually, let me just say that, you know, I oppose elective abortion as a means of elective birth control, but I support exceptions. And I'm troubled that the session failed to yield some progress in some areas that we need to be sensitive with this issue, though, in terms of addressing the root causes of abortion and lowering the costs of bringing a child in the world and raising a child. And I think there's some reforms and policies that we need to focus on that. But I am not ashamed to say that I believe in the sanctity of life, both for the preborn and for our new children. And I'm opposed to elective abortions. So whether I would have supported, you know, a lot depends on, it's hard to say, not being down there and knowing the ins and outs of what the alternatives would have been and what would likely become down the path. But those are my thoughts. And certainly though, going forward, as we look at this issue, if there are problems that are challenges that are the result of legislation, whether it's in maternal health or recruiting in doctors, or you know, some of the concerns that have been raised, I think those are issues we need to keep our eye on, and it'll be the duty of the General Assembly to correct those problems as they're spotted and arise. And I think we can do that and also stay true to something that I overwhelmingly see Hoosiers say, is that they do want some limits on abortion at least at certain points in the pregnancy.
Spencer, if you want to plug your website, I know I've glanced at it, and you've got a lot of information there that could be helpful for people trying to decide who to support. Would you want to share that domain address with our listeners today?
Sure. You can learn more about me at SpencerDeery.com. That's Deery as in D-E-E-R-Y. And you can read more about me there, read a little bit more about my career, and send me a question as well if I touched on something you didn't understand or want to know more about.
All right, Spencer, we'll tell Mitch Daniels I said hello from a former state rep, and I will say this, that if you are successful, I was a lot like you when I ran, never ran for office before, but had the privilege to serve for 12 years, and it is a great honor to serve in the General Assembly. So if you're successful, I wish you best of luck, and stay in touch.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. We'll do that.
Okay. Have a great weekend. This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on 1049 WAXI, 7 a.m. on WAMB, AM 1130, 1069, and 99.5, Sundays at 6 a.m. on 1055 WVIG, and 7 a.m. on Sundays on 92.7 WFNB. For a download of this show and other past programs, visit any one of our radio station websites. I'm Dave Crooks. Thanks for listening.